Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
That one's on you, Dusty. That one is on you, Dusty. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. You, 6 weeks away from Texans versus Kansas City Chiefs. The Astros are 10% through their season. NBA starts tonight, so we're going to get to watch some Baloncesto. Rockets begin tomorrow, but the Dusty Baker honeymoon officially came to an end last night when the Dodgers came to town, swept the Astros in a two-game series, and Dusty Baker cost them a game yesterday. John Lopez, how you doing?
I am doing good. Could be doing better. Could be doing better. I echo everything that you said. I totally agree. This was one that, we can say this during the regular season of 162 games. If it's a close race to get to the division title or the postseason or whatever, you can say, let's look back at this game. If the Astros don't get where they want to get, now we know they're going to get to the playoffs. But
do we?
If they don't, good question. But if they don't get to where they want to get, home field, it does matter even if there's not fans. But you certainly, high in the division seeding and playoff seeding. If they don't get there, this one counts by three. It counts three. That's like getting swept last night, and all three games were Dusty Baker's fault.
100%. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. 713-572-4610. Some losses are just more significant than others. And yesterday's, to me, is one of those losses where I think it could be symbolic of what Dusty Baker is as a manager who got locked up through 2021. And there were criticisms about Dusty Baker before he came here. I kind of swept them aside. But I'm not going to sell my Dusty Baker stock. But I am at least taking into account a lot more than I did originally what people said about Dusty Baker in his three decades of managing. When Christian Javier goes out there, and we're expecting this to be a bullpen game, and Christian Javier goes out there, he strikes out, or he retires 15 of the 16 guys that he faces. He strikes out 8 guys, a season high for an Astros pitcher. And he basically says, bullpen game, D's nuts, to me and everybody else that thought that was going to be a bullpen game. Then you have Blake Taylor go out there and give you 2 2/3 innings of quality work, or 2 1/3 innings of quality work, and then you use your closer for 2 innings, and you have 3 opportunities to bunt the winning run over to third base, and you don't do it a single time, and you end up losing in 13 innings. This loss is more than just 1 of 60.
Yeah.
Let's just go through what Dusty Baker exactly did yesterday in this game. So, 10th inning, you send Osuna out there for his second inning. He shuts down the Dodgers despite getting a runner started on second base. Kyle Tucker gets to start the 10th as the winning run on second base. And you have the heart of the order up for the Astros. Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, Michael Brantley do up. Altuve strikes out. Bregman walks. They walk him intentionally. And then Brantley grounds into a double play. So you could have bunted with Altuve. You could have bunted the winning run over to third. You did not do that. So you lose. Missed opportunity right there. You do not capitalize on it. Takes you into the 11th. In the 11th, you're trailing 2-1. Okay? So I can understand not bunting immediately when right. trailing 2-1. But you pinch run one of the two guys in your lineup that's hitting in Michael Brantley for Mayfield. So Mayfield comes in, Yuli singles him to third, and you have first and third with no outs. Correa then hits an RBI single, and you have guys on first and second, no outs, with Toro at the plates. Toro, not even the Texans mascot. Abraham Toro is at the plate, first and second, no outs. The one winning run is on second, and you let Toro, not even the most famous Toro in town, you let him swing. He flies out to right. There's one out. Then Miles Straw comes to the plate. Miles Straw grounds into the fielder's choice. Carlos Correa out at second. Two outs. George Springer, who got the night off, he comes in, strikes out looking, 1-for-21 on the season. Another missed opportunity. Did I mention the name Toro?
Toro.
12th inning. Snead goes 3 up, 3 down. Good job, Snead. So you have yet another chance with a runner starting on second. Kyle Tucker strikes out looking. I guess Kyle Tucker can't bunt the winning run over to third. Jose Altuve walks. Bregman flies out to center. And then, oh, great, Michael Brantley, the best hitter on the team, strolling up. No, you pinch ran for him, so Mayfield comes up. Boom. He strikes out looking. The rest is history. 13th inning, 2-run homer from Rios and the Dodgers. Church, Dodgers win 4-2. And this ain't hindsight, J-Lo. This
no,
is what drives me
no.
nuts. This ain't hindsight. We are going to go back and take Dusty at his own words as to why this was such a bad performance from Dusty Baker. Let's start with postgame yesterday. Our own Adam Spillane, who's going to join us at 10:40 and give us a 10% Astros progress report, asking Dusty Baker about not bunting, specifically with Toro.
Dusty, did you think about bunting with Toro after Correa tied the game in the 11th?
You know, I thought about it, but, you know, with the hitters that we have here, I mean, who's up against Floro? Was it Altuve? You know, he wasn't up there to bunt it. No, I didn't think about that. You know, they didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
Okay.
Look,
you didn't bunt.
Look,
go ahead.
It was, he previously said, and I know we have this, that he might.
Oh, we have it. Oh, we have it.
Yeah.
Oh, we have it. You know we have it.
You know, that is where, you know, he just falls short. So before we get to that, let me just say this. You wasted. Not only is it about, you know, this one game, the magnitude of it means so much and could mean so much, but you wasted a Verlander-like effort. I am not exaggerating. How do you say Justin Verlander in Spanish? Christian Javier. That's how you do it. 5 2/3 of really, really good pitching. You know, we had a hunch this was going to happen. We talked about it last week, how they kept, you know, in a sly way, bringing up Christian Javier's name, you know, unsolicited. And you and I were talking about, man, I think there might be something there. Well, there it was. What a waste that was.
Three chances to bunt the winning run over to third. And this ain't hindsight. We had segments about this strategy, and the man himself, Dusty Effin Baker, talked to our own Adam Spillane, Sports Radio 6M reporter Adam Spillane, about this very strategy. Here is Dusty with Adam Spillane talking about the strategy that goes into these types of situations.
Have you guys talked about how you might handle it at the beginning of the inning? Would you bunt with the guy at second base, or would you just play things out?
Well, possibly. It depends on who's coming up. You know, that's just like kicking a field goal and, you know, in football. But, you know, when they get the ball last, they can score a touchdown. So they can score, you know, two runs and beat you, even though you score a run. So you might do it as a home team, but you probably wouldn't do it, I don't think, as the visiting team.
All right, you might do it as a home team. You had three cracks at it. Again, let's go back to last night. You might do it as the home team, but you had three cracks at it last night. If Bill O'Brien said what Dusty Baker said after the game yesterday,
we'd be destroying
him. I wouldn't even need a rundown. Because you just heard Dusty Baker go on record saying the mindset's different when you're the home team and you're the away team, correct? That's what he just said.
Right.
The mindset is different. Listen to him last night after he decided not to bunt with multiple people in Toro.
Dusty, did you think about bunting with Toro after Correa tied the game in the 11th?
You know, I thought about it, but, you know, with the hitters that we have here, I mean, who's up against Floro? Was it Altuve? You know, he wasn't up there to bunt it. No, I didn't think about that. You know, they didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
Dusty, it doesn't matter. You yourself are on record, and it's common sense in saying that it's different mindset when you're the road team and you're the home team. So to say that they didn't bunt, we didn't bunt, nobody bunted, you're the home team. You had a chance to play for the win twice. They didn't have that luxury. So to sit there and say, well, they didn't bunt, so we didn't bunt, to justify the foolishness that we saw last night makes no sense, Dusty. I love you, man. I love you, but come on.
It's not even that, Landry. You know, he's like, you know, who was up? You know, you don't need to bunt that. All you need is a run. You know, analytics doesn't even come into play here. You know, you had runners on first and second. Nobody out. You don't need to play for a big inning. You know,
dude,
you don't need that.
Dude. I would have bunted with Altuve, John. You
that's what I'm
about,
saying,
John.
That's my point.
You literally laid this out. This is forecasting. This is why it's so ridiculous. 8664 on the text line 713-572-4610 says Landry, John. It could have been Tony F and Gwynn. It doesn't matter. I agree with you.
I agree with you
100,000%. But you said yourself that you would bunt the guy to third every time. It's on record. You had three chances to do it. Three chances to do it with Altuve, with Toro, and then you take Michael Brantley out of the game at second, and then all of a sudden Mayfield goes up there, and Mayfield strikes out looking. Huge mistake by Dusty Baker. So all of a sudden,
it just
Dusty, get it together, man. You used your closer two innings. You used all these relievers multiple innings. You screwed up yesterday, Dusty. You screwed
this
up.
This was the way he described it and talked about it. This was his Bill O'Brien, I don't have a play moment. And it came early. It came early because, again, you know, the logic just doesn't fit, right? You have the winning run at second base and no outs. You don't, but at that point, all you need is a run, one run. That's all you need. You don't need to play for a big inning. You don't need analytics. You don't need any of that stuff. And, oh, by the way, I would argue, and I've had this discussion with managers over the years, and some, you know, most, I should say, that I've talked to that I can remember talking to totally agree. In a situation like this where it's just the one run you need, it's just you want your best hitter to bunt. Why? Because your best hitter, especially in Altuve's case or whomever
it
might
be. Seen him bunt hundreds of times.
No, they have the best control of the bat. They have the best eye. You know, they have, the experience. Nobody – what can Jose Altuve not hit? He hits everything. You can argue very easily, not only should you – not bunt with Altuve. You should decide to bunt even more with Altuve or whomever.
How many bunt singles do you think Altuve has in his career even? You're almost bunting for a hit, too.
Yeah. You know, if Abraham Toro bunts.
Toro.
Okay, you know, okay, that's fine. You gave it an effort, but maybe he'll pop up. I don't think anyone else of that caliber would pop up. You could argue you should bunt. You should decide to bunt even more.
Dusty, don't sit there and tell me they didn't bunt, we didn't bunt. It's a different situation. You said it yourself. We have the audio. Anything you say in this city, I hear, I'll go back to, you're tripping over yourself. You cost them the game yesterday. I'm not going to sell stock on you. I'm disappointed in you. This is the B.O.B. treatment that myself and John Lopez give you. It's a big boy city. It ain't just big boy when it comes to football. That was a bad, bad performance by you. You wasted efforts of three different pitchers. Absolutely terrible. But we need some good news, J-Lo. You want some good news?
I want some good news.
Man, we're going to get to do something that we haven't done in months today. At about, let's say, at about 6-ish, 5:30, we're going to get to watch some basketball, baby.
Dang right.
Doubleheader. It's going to be Jazz versus Pelicans, followed by the battle between the two L.A. teams. Basketball will be on the TV screen, so not all is wrong here on In the Loop. Sports Radio 610. We're also 6 weeks away from Texans versus Chiefs. And 6 weeks before the matchup, the Chiefs have lost another starter who could have been the Super Bowl MVP. But is there more to this story? Myself, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, will cuss and discuss next. Another loss for Kansas City, six weeks away from the matchup with the Texans next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, 6 weeks till Texans take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City lost a starter. Matter of fact, this starter probably should have been the MVP of the Super Bowl. Here's a little taste of what he did in the big game that concluded the 2019 season.
Mahomes throws, pass, caught, Williams, touchdown! Kansas City jumps on top. Obviously now second and six, Williams makes a cut and will roll into the end zone for the touchdown. No flags.
Joe Buck with the call, courtesy of Fox. 17 rushes for 104 yards and a touchdown. 4 catches for 29, another touch for Damian Williams. However, he has opted out of the 2020 season just 6 weeks before the Chiefs faced the Texans. When you see a starter for the Chiefs opts out, the eyebrows raise a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you take a closer look at this, is this really much of a big deal? And could it actually be a reason for Texans and Texans fans to be more scared than originally, with the Chiefs focusing their attention on maybe somebody else out of the backfield now?
Yeah, you're talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and that's possible that he's going to be more of a threat. You and I both love that kid and what he did at LSU, but it is a big deal. No, don't be mistaken. I know he didn't have a great regular season, Damian Williams, and he would have been kind of like a Larry Brown from the Cowboys type Super Bowl MVP coming out of nowhere to get it had he won it. But he was a weapon. I mean, clearly they counted on him enough to play him like that in the Super Bowl. So, no, it's a big hit. There's no question about it.
Just last year, 498 yards in the regular season. And you just heard Lopez mention Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Here was the last pick of the first round of the 2020 NFL draft, the selection that the Chiefs, who you thought would go defense, the selection they made despite having one of the most high-powered offenses, if not the most high-powered offense in the NFL.
The Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs select Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back, LSU.
Now, there is talk that they could potentially add a veteran, but here's James Palmer of the NFL Network talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and how much the Kansas City Chiefs like him 6 weeks out of their matchup with the Houston Texans.
If you talk to anyone in that building, they just start smiling when they talk about the kid for two main reasons. One, they love the way he operates in small areas, small area quickness. And then the second part, his mental approach, his professionalism. His running back coach at LSU, Kevin Faulk, he talks to him still regularly. He talks to Darren Sproles on a regular basis trying to get information. Having that talent around him, they believe might make him even more special. You know, Damian Williams, the guy who maybe could have been the Super Bowl MVP penciled in as a starter, but when they hit the field, he has a pretty good leg up on most rookies around the league and how he's approaching things.
Well, at this point now, he has to. So Texans going to get a heavy dose of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, to say the least, in 6 weeks, John. This is, I guess it's a moderate situation, but there's also the possibility that Kansas City could still add a Devontae Freeman, or maybe they could call back LeSean McCoy. So they could actually add a veteran to replace Williams as well that they feel could be comparable. But 6 weeks before
the season will
opting out, interesting.
I think they absolutely will, but Edwards-Helaire is going to be the guy. You know, and by the way, when you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you have that many weapons and Patrick Mahomes, they're gonna have their choice of just about anybody that, you know, that'll be anybody's first choice is to play in Kansas City. So I don't think there will be a huge drop off, and maybe Helaire will even be better. I think he probably will, but it's definitely a hit. This kid is really, really good, and he's going to be scary. Remember when Lewis Riddick compared him to Barry Sanders? Wow. And those things are always, you know, that's always silly when you think he's comparing him to that level of player, that he'll be that level of player. I don't think that's what he was doing, because I know I've seen some of the same characteristics. It's the balance, and you heard, you know, he's got incredible balance on his feet, compact. And you heard Palmer talking about how he is in tight spaces. That's what Barry Sanders was. He's not going to be Barry Sanders by any, you know, nobody's saying that. what I'm saying is those characteristics are there. He's going to be a problem.
Well, the one kryptonite that Barry Sanders had was he was not a very good receiver, and that's one of this kid's strengths. So this kid, I know that the size looks different, and, you know, when he gets in the open field, it kind of looks similar because they're both short, stocky guys, but this is a kid who can catch the rock out of the backfield. I started immediately thinking about something that I didn't know if I was going to be able to have this year that I would miss very heavily, and I think a lot of the loopholes, shout out to the loopholes, I think they can kind of relate to me on this. I thought about fantasy football soon as this happened, because it was going to be difficult to draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire if Williams had been there, but Matthew Berry of ESPN, the number one fantasy expert, and we don't usually talk a lot of fantasy, but the fact that it looks like we're actually going to have some fantasy football, it got me to thinking, what does the number one fantasy expert think the impact of Damian Williams opting out 6 weeks before the Chiefs open the season against the Texans? What does he think the impact is there with the previously mentioned CEH?
This obviously has a ripple effect on the fantasy value of a number of players, especially Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Go back and watch my draft day videos, and when the Chiefs selected CEH, I'm literally beating my chest in excitement. Be still my beating heart, I said. CEH in a Kansas City offense, his skill set, what Andy Reid likes to do, it's a perfect match.
Could I interest you in a stat?
Over the last 15 years, the number one running back in an Andy Reid offense has averaged 18 fantasy points per game. Last year on a points per game basis, 18 points per game would have been running back 8, just ahead of Alvin Kamara. So the upside is tremendous here, and I think he's a very talented player. But also doesn't know the offense yet. He's coming over just this year. Anyway, and we'll see if the Chiefs sign a veteran, you know, Devontae Freeman or somebody else as well. But as of right now, I have CEH as a top 15 player overall.
Numbers are hot.
I kind of wonder, John, if, you know, we talk about the advantage in baseball, how, you know, the pitching usually has the advantage early on. I wonder, I threw this out there, I think rookies might actually have an advantage this year because they don't know how training camp's supposed to be. Like, this was going to be unfamiliar to Clyde Edwards-Helaire regardless. Like, whether it was a normal training camp,
anything.
Whether it was this training camp, it was going to be different to him. He doesn't know any better than to know what the norm is. So he has that. And the tackling, you got to think, especially with this Texans defense, which was one of the worst in the league last year, without DJ Reader in the middle, the tackling is going to be a little bit suspect. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not going to forget how to run with the football. I got to wonder how much of an advantage he's going to have 6 weeks from now going against one of the worst defenses in the league last year and knowing what we know and those advantages. And, oh, by the way, Anthony Weaver is going to be calling his first game as a defensive coordinator, and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and all the Chiefs weapons, they already know what they got going on.
And, oh, by the way, not 1 second of film. Not 1 second of film of how they
not even preseason. Not even preseason.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. You know, no preseason. Not 1 second of NFL film. And I know people don't show their hands a lot in the preseason, but you do get a sense of, you know, where they line up. You know, they do that. They, you know, they line up Edwards-Helaire in certain areas, and you can say, okay, well, that's maybe they put him in the slot here. Are they motioning him? Is he going to be a single back? Or, you know, all these other things. You can presume a lot of these things based on Andy Reid's past and how he uses similar backs, but not 1 second of tape in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform, unless you get some from practices or inter squad practices or whatever, of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But I agree with you. I think the other thing I think is that what he was talking about there about, but he's a rookie, running backs as rookies, it's not that hard, man. I mean, it's not that difficult. Now, look, I'm sure it's some, you know, people like Wade and other, you know, ex-NFL players that are on our air saying, hey, Lopez, you're dumb. It is hard. but I'm talking about compared to other positions.
Right.
It's not that hard for a running back compared to other positions to step right in.
100%. Texans versus Chiefs in 6 weeks. Basketball begins today. Rockets on the court tomorrow. Hit me with that basketball music. Astros, they are playing. And national media types got a lot of opinions about Joe Kelly's 8-game suspension. Was it fair? The Astros are the A topic around the nation, and a lot of people got a lot of things to say, including a surprising ally for the Stros. We will react to the noise next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
You know, I didn't think nothing about it, actually. You know, I mean, this is, you know, the game is first and foremost. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do, you know, regardless of, you know, what my opinions are. So, you know, I think that, you know, the punishments were fair.
It's Dusty Baker talking about Joe Kelly's 8-game suspension by MLB after his shenanigans in game one of Stroh's versus Dodgers. Dusty Baker, you're not getting a free pass. We'll sound off on him at 11 a.m. He's getting that Bill O'Brien treatment. J-Lo, did you think the suspension to Joe Kelly 8 games was fair, or did you think it was too harsh?
I think the suspension to Joe Kelly was the best news the Astros have gotten all year. And the reason is we've all seen these, you know, people are projecting them. The equivalent of an 8-game suspension in 162 games is a 22-game suspension. When was the last time anyone, outside of like season-long type suspensions for steroids back in the day, was suspended 22 games? I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here or whatever. I think this is going to directly affect how many times the Astros get hit this year. I think it's the best news they've gotten. Now, excuse me, whether it's fair or not, who knows? You know, that's up to you to decide and what side you're on here, right? You know, Astros fans, of course, think it's fair. And, of course, I think it's fair because I'm talking about, you know, throwing at a guy's head and the difference between that. We talked a lot about that yesterday. But in terms of just moving forward, I think 22 games, people are definitely 100% going to think twice about taking things into their own hands and throwing at Astros pitchers because their salaries are already less because of the 60-game season. Then you're going to be fine when you're suspended. You don't get paid. You're going to be suspended for 8 games, the equivalent of 22 out of that. Absolutely, this is the best news the Astros could have got.
See, to me, I don't look at it as a 22-game suspension because he's not really a position player. And the other thing is, I look at it as more like a 3-game suspension that would have been a 9-game suspension because he wouldn't have pitched again yesterday. So there's 1 game of the suspension. He probably, in 8 games, he probably pitches 3 days. Now, as far as his pockets, yes, it's different, but let's be honest. At tops, Joe Kelly's probably pitching 3 times in 8 games. He's probably, most of the time, I'm just talking from a Dodgers competitive standpoint, he's going to be sitting in the bullpen for 5 of those games anyways, max. So I think it's a fair suspension, honestly. I do too.
And I'm not talking about, you know, fair for Joe Kelly or whatever. I'm talking about the best news the Astros could have gotten. Because the next guy, I mean, you're getting deep into their pockets. You've already gotten deep into guys' pockets by shortening the season, right? The money that they were expecting to make. Well, now, you know, that you're going to get suspended. You're going to lose money. I think Joe Maddon said it. Joe Maddon, who the Astros play next, flat out said that he talked to his pitchers and said, you know, straight up, let's just play baseball straight up. He's not looking for pitchers to be throwing at guys. And I think they're going to agree with him at some point when they realize how expensive it could get.
And I think the Dodgers kind of need to shut the hell up. Because I get your beef with the 2017 World Series, but after this whole thing happened, you were talking about making T-shirts, and you were just kind of joking around, and all of a sudden it's, whoa, that's too harsh. You were glorifying a guy throwing at someone's head. That's what you were doing. And you were getting shirts made with the face that he made afterwards with all the shenanigans. So I think the suspension's fine. I think he probably would have pitched 3 of those 8 games, maybe. But I think the Dodgers need to kind of chill out because you guys were glorifying this. You were talking about it. And I'm amused by it, almost as amused as I am by the national media types and their reaction to this. Because the return of baseball, the return of drama, the return of the Astros being the main attraction, and the team that everybody around the country watches means the return of hot takes. And I never thought I would miss hot takes. I usually try to avoid playing other people's hot takes on the show. But my gosh, was it burning up yesterday on ESPN and all the other channels. Here's Jeff Passan. First of all, Jeff Passan, before the suspension was handed down, talking about whether or not he thought Joe Kelly should be suspended.
Now, I'm not saying that this was unquestionably intentional, because remember, Joe Kelly's a guy who has had troublesome control. That being said, this did not look good. Is Major League Baseball really going to come in and penalize Joe Kelly or penalize anyone on either of these teams for clearing the benches simply because it's running afoul of the protocol that the league has in place? There is a possibility that we could see discipline, but it's going to be hard considering Bregman and Correa were not hit.
Considering they weren't hit, J-Lo.
Jeez. Well, Bregman was it? No, I guess not. I thought it grazed him. That is awful.
No, it didn't.
That is hypocrisy that I was talking about yesterday. Oh, it's fine. Nothing to see here. It's just big boys taking care of business. Nah, man, they were throwing at the dude's head.
Yeah, it's interesting. Jeff Passan's kind of exposed himself. You know, I made fun of people for saying Jeff Passan kind of had it out against the Astros. He clearly does. I think Jeff Luhnow and rubbed a lot of guys the wrong way. It's clear Jeff Passan is not objective when it comes to the Astros, which is fine. I just held the position he has. I just grew up on the Buster Olneys, the Peter Gammons, hell, the Adam Schefters, the Jay Glazers, the guys who have prominent positions like that. I hold them to a higher standard, but I guess he's just the... He's just the clout-chasing, pencil-neck dork that I'm going to have to get used to. The new-age reporter is what Jeff Passan is, which is fine. I just have to adjust what I expect from him, and he's going to clout-chase retweets and not be biased. That's fine. I have no problem with that. Buster Olney is not like that. Buster Olney, after the suspension was handed down, talked about the reaction from the Dodgers. This courtesy of ESPN, as was Passan. Here is Buster Olney talking about the reaction coming out of the Dodgers clubhouse after Joe Kelly was suspended 8 games.
Within the Dodgers organization, there's absolute outrage and shock over this decision because an 8-game suspension in a 60-game season is the equivalent of a 21-game suspension. Within the Dodgers organization, there's a feeling of, look, he didn't hit Bregman. He actually, in their eyes, didn't even come close to hitting
him.
And they felt like Dusty Baker was screaming at Kelly in that inning from the Houston dugout. They were absolutely surprised by the length of the suspension, especially because Kelly is a reliever. Rob Manfred said during the wintertime in so many words that he was not going to allow open season to be on the Houston Astros. Back in 2017, when all the sign stealing stuff happened, I think we can look back and criticize Rob Manfred for not drawing a line in the sand and trying to alter the behavior with one big penalty at that time against the Red Sox or the Yankees. Well, in this case, it seems that's what he's trying to do, alter the behavior and stop teams from throwing at the Houston Astros.
Right, that's the non-clout-chasing Buster Olney of ESPN. First of all, didn't even come close to hitting him. I don't know what the hell
that
is.
Come on, man. What are you looking at?
Second of all, I do think there's an element to Rob Manfred screwing everything up to where there's really no logic to follow when it comes to these types of suspensions. So if you did think it was harsh, the guy in charge is just such a buffoon that you're in a situation where, yes, he screwed up in 2017 with the Yankees and Red Sox. A lot of people think he screwed up with the Astros and wasn't harsh enough. He's basically like a dumb dog chasing his tail. So this is what you're going to have to get used to. Whenever a decision's made in MLB, chances are it's going to be the wrong one, and chances are it's going to be the snowball effect of a miscalculation by the man in charge.
See, I think it was exactly what Olney said. I think Manfred was trying to send a message about for future reference if anybody wants to throw at him, and that's what I was talking about earlier. I think it's the best thing that possibly could have happened to the Astros.
Here is Eduardo Perez of ESPN. Eduardo Perez, one of the most respected baseball guys that there is. Here was Eduardo Perez. I'm getting him out of the way because there is some jamoke commentary coming after him. But here's Eduardo Perez talking about his reaction to Joe Kelly throwing at Alex Bregman and the punishment that was oncoming.
You're going to do it to Alex Bregman. Do it on the 0-0 pitch. Don't do it on a 3-0 pitch. Throw behind his head where his career could be in jeopardy. The warning was then given to the Houston Astros. That warning shouldn't have been given to the Houston Astros. But at the end of the day, Alex Bregman, man, I give him credit for not even looking at Joe Kelly after that ball went behind his neck.
Now, Clint was actually disappointed.
Exactly what I said.
Clint was disappointed in Bregman for not going alpha.
Well, come on now. I thought Bregman, I have so much respect for that dude. You could see him clinching his teeth. He was in another environment, he would have chased the mound. You know, if there weren't fines and professionalism and teammates involved that he was trying to stay true to and stay in the game, he absolutely would have. I give him, if it's about your teammates, Bregman was a star by just clenching his teeth and going to first base.
Now, a 9-game suspension for a reliever is one thing, or an 8-game suspension because you don't know how often he's going to play. If Alex Bregman got suspended 8 games, oh,
that's
my
the thing.
Gosh.
That's
now,
the
that
thing.
Is the equivalent of a 24. So you agree Clint kind of wanted him to go alpha, but to
you
each
can't
his
do
own.
That stuff. You can't do that stuff.
Here
not
is,
in this environment.
Here is Jacoby from Jalen and Jacoby. It's about to get a lot more ridiculous as we listen in on the national reaction to Joe Kelly and the Astros on Tuesday.
Joe Kelly was out there with the glasses. He was giving me real Ricky Vaughn and Major League Wild Thing vibes. Like, okay. He was throwing behind hitters. He was trying to hit people. He was doing it intentionally. You could tell by the way that he was talking to the other team. We all knew that the Astros were going to get thrown at, and they got thrown at. I don't have a problem with them getting thrown at. However, a 3-0 pitch behind somebody at the head level, I do have a problem with where he threw those pitches, not that he threw them at the Astros.
Okay, you're just talking in circles.
Like, what is he saying?
Yeah, you're saying he did it on purpose. You're saying he had no problem throwing it, but he threw it the head, but you don't have a problem with it, but you have a problem with it. You have a problem with it, buddy. Like, you have a problem with it there, Jacoby. That's what is he saying? Like, what are you trying to say, buddy?
Yeah, he was talking out of both sides there.
Good Lord. My goodness. Why don't you go sit no on doubt. The toilet? My gosh. Or check your britches after talking out of both sides there. Here's Jalen Rose, who does the podcast with Jacoby. And I like their podcast. But this is Jalen Rose of ESPN talking about Joe Kelly and the suspension and what went down against the Astros on Tuesday.
This is a very dangerous sport, in particular one where somebody can be throwing at somebody's head like this. But this is kind of the honor code of that game. Okay. Bench clearing brawls happen in that game. Beaning people does happen in that game. So many unwritten rules happen in that game. So therefore, if you cheat as flagrant as they did, and you win the World Series, and you face the team that you beat in the World Series, there should be some retribution.
The problem I have, John, is if you're going to criticize baseball's unwritten rules on the reg, which is what I do, then I think it's strange to then all of a sudden justify them when something happens to the Astros. If the Astros had done what Joe Kelly did, I promise you I would be saying they deserve so-and-so deserves to be suspended, Davinsky, or
yeah.
Whatever. I just think it's strange that a lot of people that are the most critical of baseball's unwritten rules are all of a sudden waving the flag for them whenever it comes at the sake of Alex Bregman almost taking one off the dome.
People support unwritten rules in baseball when it's convenient for their team. Period. That's just how it works. It wasn't convenient. It was convenient for the Dodgers. It wasn't convenient for anybody else, and that's why they got suspended.
Here's Jeff Blum and Todd Kalish yesterday on AT&T Sportsnet, adding some a different point of view as to why Kelly may have been suspended 8 games for his actions.
I think that what we're losing in context out in the greater Twitter sphere or social media is what else happened? You know, the play at first base with Brantley, the glaring at Brantley and trying to make a situation out of that, and then making it personal when he yelled at Carlos Correa. I think it was the history, and then it was the actions. I truly feel that if he would have just thrown behind Alex and let Alex go to first base and just continued with the inning, it may have been a minimal suspension, if any. I really feel like
there was a lot of strange stuff going on that inning.
And I mean, I think the other thing you got to keep in mind, Blum said he thought the suspension was too heavy, too. So he's not like some homer broadcaster coming out there saying that. He's saying maybe that should be taken into account. But he thought the suspension was a little bit heavy.
I thought he got suspended because he made the faces. I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be
really
funny. No, because I think that was the exclamation point that told the world, yes, I did it on purpose. You're damn right I did it on purpose. He looked at him. He said something. Then he did the little pouty face. That to me, if I'm commissioner, I'm like, all right, you know, I mean, come on, you know, because the post game, his comments, we played him yesterday, you know, well, it wasn't my best pitch or whatever it was that he said. But when he did that on the field, that to me was like, okay, context now. You got evidence that he absolutely did on purpose, and I think that led to a stiffer suspension as well.
Now, Astros fans are probably tired of the pile on. And you've heard a bunch of guys who you probably don't respect sounding off on the Astros. But the guy I respect the most Some Astros fans might not have before yesterday, but the guy that I think is the most credible baseball voice in town that always tells it like it is and how he sees it, Chris Mad Dog Russo. Legend. Absolutely.
How did he get that nickname?
Because he's a mad dog. Damn it.
You have any evidence of that?
There's plenty of evidence. Just type in Chris Mad Dog Russo. Something will come up.
I think we're about to hear some.
But Mad Dog is the one guy, and I respect his opinion the most, whether he's talking bad about the Astros, whether he's talking good. I respect Mad Dog Russo. And I'll be damned, Figgy, if the one guy in this whole thing to defend the Astros is the guy I respect the most, Chris Mad Dog Russo.
Joe Kelly, I'm going to have to, who wasn't even on the 2017 team. This is the guy that the Dodgers are going to throw out there to send a message to the Houston Astros? Really? Joe Kelly, who throws a 3-0 fastball behind Alex Bregman's head, could have killed him? I mean, geez. I mean, who does he think he is, Don Drysdale? And then later on, he's throwing a pitch down by Correa. Correa, you know, basically looked at him, and I tell you, in a ballroom fight, who are you taking, Correa or Kelly? He kind of looks at him, and then Kelly walks off the field and sticks his tongue out like a little baby and, you know, yells and screams at Correa. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Hey, Joe, why don't you, when you're in the clubhouse today, take a loop out of the 10th inning against the Nationals last year in Game 5? I mean, really, a guy on the 2017 Red Sox is going to start doing the Dodger bidding from 2017's World Series against the Astros. This is what we're coming down to. Why don't the Dodgers just be quiet, win ball games, and then in October, show up and win a championship? Please, enough. Joe Kelly, you must be kidding me.
So how did he get that nickname?
Mad Dog Russo defending the Astros' honor right there.
God, that's so good.
He's a man, dude. I love me some
Are you
Mad
kidding
Dog.
Me?
That is the national reaction to the suspension held down, capped off by a surprising Astros ally. Speaking of the Astros, Dusty Baker, you're about to get that Bill O'Brien treatment. I can promise you that. You're not off the hook for yesterday. That was awful, and you cost the Astros a game. How much did that one hurt? How much could that impact the team down the stretch? And I got to think about something, Figgy, something that could have been. Things could have been so good for the Astros if someone had just showed up. We'll discuss next.
Get on the mound, little
Ooh, okay. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.